Roderick Prayer, nickname Cover Man. Another episode of Where Are They Now? Hey, Rod, why don't you start by telling us where you're from and how you got started playing football?
So I'm from Oceanside, California. South of San Diego. Well, more north of San Diego, I guess. And I started playing football with my junior in high school. So didn't really get a lot of looks because I just started. So I ended up going to Palomar Junior College over in San Marcos, California. And there, you know, we became national champions. And so then that's all, the recruiting started. You know, still kind of young, immature, whatever, didn't really understand it, kind of doing it on my own. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I get some letters from my important state that really didn't want to leave California either, you know. And I think, Coach Hill was always, hitting me up. And, you know, I got the letter from him. They wanted me to come out there. So, and I thought that was the closest place, you know, to California. Because I kind of needed a break from Cali. So I figured Portland would be good. The recruiting trip. And Sammy Burroughs and Tobias Wallace. You know, like Sammy B was there. And, I played against him and he played at Mount Sac. And he was like number one against number two in the nation. So I knew him a little bit. So it kind of made it a little more, more comfortable.
So when you arrived to Portland State, what were your expectations? Were you expecting to come in right in and play since you were coming out of junior college?
You know, man, I thought I was coming in to start, but before that problem, I was still struggling with my grades and stuff, and I was waiting for, and no one ever knew about this either. So I don't know if you remember when I came into camp, it was like a week late when I came in, and so I was waiting for my grade for my geometry class. And, Coach Hill, they were all kind of losing patience. But now I think back, I think he's doing things to kind of get that, kind of light that fire in me a little bit, kind of get things moving. So but he called me up and he was like, hey, man, I'm sorry, but we had to give away your scholarship. And I'm like, what? But yeah, he's like, everything is kind of taking too long. You know, we had a recruiting process going. We got to get some other kids in. So I was just like, man, I'm pretty sure I could have went somewhere else, but I think that kind of burned the most. I had it, and then it's like I lost it because I wasn't taking care of my schoolwork at the right time, whatever. And so then so that happened. I think it's maybe like 3 or 4 days had gone by, and then I had taken my final exam for geometry, and passed. So I passed that, which I'm great now. I have all my credits. So I called Coach Hill and I said, hey, I passed my class. I got my credits. You know what he told me?
What?
He goes, your ticket's at the airport. Get down there.
No way.
And I was like, what? Yeah. So that's why I knew that he was trying to like that fire me, man. Just kind of get going so I get out there. In Cali, at the time, it was all grass. There was no turf. So I get out there. They pick me from the airport. I get out there and... I go to the locker room, got some shorts, a t-shirt, and some shoes. I went out in the field, man, and all I can remember was my feet felt very fast on this turf, And that's when Pat gave me the nickname Cover Man. Yeah, so that's why I was like, man, it was just cool just to see, and it was a great experience too, man. Just seeing a whole bunch of cats from like different places. I think I was the only guy that was from like deep Southern California. Everyone else was from LA area or Northern California, so.
Name a few guys that you played with.
Paul Bradford, Andrew Hosley, which he's still in LA, and he was out here a couple of nights ago, and we caught up a little bit, so it was good to see him. Who else? Of course, Sammy Burroughs and Tobias. You.
Wow, man, what a ride, man! Do you remember who you first played against?
Mankato State. Of course, I came in there last year. And I was just telling my wife right now. I was like, man, that was like the only time that Coach Hill allowed me to be free in this play. Because obviously I didn't know all the plays, that wasn't there for the whole 2 weeks, you know?
Right.
So I was you know, pretty much like a man-to-man corner. And he just let me play man-to-man the whole time. You know, so I was like, the only time I felt like Honey Badger.
Rod, you're crazy for that one, man. So let's dive into your most memorable moment at Portland State playing football.
Well, I had to go back to that first game, man. And, you know, when it was just at Mankato State, you know, my first time playing in college, you know, I get to start, even though I had missed a whole week of, you know, training camp. I get to start on the field, man, and, you know, play that nickel and dime position. And it saw, like, now, like I said, I think, like, when Coach Hill kind of let me be free and let me play because, you know, I didn't know the coverages yet or the defense. He just let me play. And I felt like I was making plays and I was flying around. Like, my feet were fast. And I felt good. And it was like, man, you know. So that was a great feeling, man, just to, you know, to be able to do that.
What else could you tell us about your interaction with Coach Hill?
Coach Hill, his thing was, you know, of course, at that era, was like, you know, Deion Sanders. So I had considered myself being like Deion. I was like, man, you got to pay me cover, not tackle. And I remember Coach Hill, when he talked about how he goes, hey, you're going to get rid of all that arm tackling you do on that film. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Then what happened?
Like I said, I hadn't played on turf before. And I think I was covering the tight end, and he ran like a corner route. But to me, the tight end was so slow. Like, I was like, oh, I got this. You know, and it was on our sideline. I went to plant and drive, and I started taking off running. My shoe got caught in the turf, and I fell. Dude. I was like, man, because I was like, that's a pick right there. I already broke on it.
It seems like you had a significant relationship with Coach Jaime Hill.
You know, and Coach Hill had like these huge packets of formation. So I was used to only knowing what I need to do. Now I got to know what the other guys have to do. And it was like, whoa, I've never done this before, man. And you kind of lose confidence. And confidence, because I wasn't used to that. I was used to kind of finding my man. You know, I can play up to cover three and all this stuff, whatever. But yeah, but the way he had it set up, it was like, yeah, it was killing me. But it really took me like a year to kind of figure everything out. But by that time, I was leaving. I mean, I was going to spring ball. And once I was doing spring ball, I was like, this is easy now. It makes sense, you know? But like I said, I was kind of at the door by that time. But, you know, I like Coach Hill because he was persistent.
So would you say the relationship was up and down?
You know, he had me, man. And then when I got there, and like I said, it was, you know, I was rough around the edges, and I don't know if he had like a lot of pressure on him to, you know, get things going. And, you know, it was some big shoes to fill too, man, because, you know, we had Sam Peoples there, and he was a damn good corner, you know. So like, you know, I think at some point, though, we started butting heads. Because I think it was just me just not used to, you know, doing certain things and doing things that he wanted me to do. But I think he got more frustrated because he knew I had the talent to do it. Just me not putting in the effort and time to really focus on my talent and, you know, start thinking way too much, you know. I mean, I appreciate doing it at every school. I just wasn't used to it. We had any game that we had, you know, we had a test before the game.
You had previously mentioned that there were some reasons why you had to leave Portland State. Let's go into that.
I don't know if you remember me. You know, I know when I was out there, I was kind of off the chain a little bit at Portland State, which is why the reason why I had to leave.
So you had to leave Portland State, but tell me the details of what happened.
You know, one of our teammates, you know, got in a fight with the kid over at in the dorm, and the kid went back. We saw the kid one night when we were out, whatever. The kid was with some other people, whatever, and they wanted to fight all of us. And we were like, we know that dude. We said dude all the time over at the, you know, at the dorm. He had a girlfriend there. So, but he was talking trash. We was like, wow, okay. So, you know, kind of let it go. And then I guess one day, one guy just seen him. So, yeah, so they get in a fight, man, and dude goes home and tells his mom. The mom comes up to the school. I was like, wow. So, yeah, so then Coach Walsh was like, well, you guys, all this stuff is happening, so you guys might have to leave. So I was like, well, if that's not, and I kind of saw that coming. I was already kind of getting prepared, too, so.
Well, how do you feel about Portland State? Do you feel like they did you wrong?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah, I had no ill will, man. You know, that was something that, like I said, I was young, you know, and still wasn't really focused, you know, so just kind of hanging with, you know, with my little Cali comrades and stuff, whatever, and one made mistake and we all paid for it. But then at some point, like, I need to grow up as well, you know?
Okay. If there is anything that you could say to Coach Hill right now, what would it be?
I'll just say thank you, man. Thank you for, you know, being persistent, you know, giving me the chance, the opportunity to come out there and, you know, and believing that I can come out there and do something.
Okay, so you leave Portland State. Where do you transfer to?
I transferred from there and end up going to a school in Durango called Fort Lewis.
Where?
It's probably like a 6-hour drive west of Denver. Yeah. So it's in Colorado. So I finished up there and, you know, did pretty good there, dude, and went and played some arena football and ended up coming back here and been my home ever since.
Who'd you play for?
I had signed with the time they were called New Jersey Red Dogs. And then, of course, they changed the name to the Las Vegas Gladiators. So it was Arena 1 that plays, you know, plays some Arena 2 ball over in Pennsylvania.
This is a great segue. Tell me about your family and what you're doing for work.
I'm married, man. I've been married for 9 years. It'll be 10 years in May. My wife's name is Heather. We have a son named Santana. He's 7 years old. He just turned 7 this past December. So, man, just, you know, I can say we're like a tight-knit family. When I left Arena and I came back, actually before I even left to go play Arena, for the second time, I was a youth counselor. You know, it was like my first to the gig after college, whatever. I was working with inner city kids, and I think they kind of tied into me from being inner city. And I was still trying to, you know, get into counseling and play like, you know, some more arena football, whatever. And then it was like, man, I think, I don't know what made me kind of decide, like, I think when I left Arena and I came back here and I just started working. And then I started liking what I was doing. So it was like, and I knew I still had it because I was still, you know, like 25, 26, whatever. Still had it, but it was like, man, I mean, it's kind of hard to, I didn't have an 8 at the time either. I was pretty much done with that. So, you know, it's not like college where you can send around your highlight film, you know, and they're gonna start calling you and stuff, whatever, you know? So just like, I'm like, you know, I'm not even gonna beat myself up like that and just kind of keep stressing about it. Just kind of go on my life, you know?
Right, I know sometimes it's hard to give up the game. Myself included, I've been there. Was that difficult for you?
You know what, man? Not really. That wasn't hard. I think the hard part was just knowing, I mean, you know, trying to get back in there or trying to get in, but not having, like, any connection. You know, not really knowing anyone to kind of, you know, open that door for me. So I decided to go back and do it again. And then when I came back, I was like, well, if I want to make some out of this, I can't keep going back and forth. You know, kept playing football. But I felt like with the arena, you know, I didn't want to be one of those cats that, you know, I find a job, I leave, go play arena, whatever, and have to come back and find another job, you know? So it was like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to use myself what I went to school for and take it from there. I am a supervisor, a manager over here at it's called Adams Youth Services Center. So I'm the manager there, supervisor, and a program officer. So, you know, we'll work on a unit where kids are like have mental health issues. Yeah, so it was almost like kind of going back to school, because I was working, you know, I was pretty much getting trained by like clinical directors and psychologists and stuff. So that taught me a lot. That taught me a lot about myself.
Are there any particular teammates that you admired that you would like to tell them?
Yeah, and you're gonna be surprised on the last name I give, but you know, the first two, man, was definitely Steve Papen and and Sammy Burroughs, you know. Two guys, man, just watching this. I mean, you see Steve as a running back. He wasn't a big running back, but that dude was getting some yards, man, and he was just, I thought he was a pretty good athlete, you know, and of course, you know, playing with Sammy B, man, just, you know, he just, his toughness, and I just saw him when I played against Sammy B at Chase in junior college. He was a different person at Portland State, different athlete, you know? Yeah, because, I just remember a lot of things that he did when we played against him in junior college, but to come to Portland State and see like he's the man and he's balling out, I was just like, wow, that's cool, man. And then I think later on, man, this didn't happen, you know, while I was at Portland State, but when I left there, and it still took a little bit of time, but I think I was staying with you and Shannon. Yeah, I was staying with you and Shannon time, but I think, and it was you, Brian, what I admired about you, man, was, you know, you took care of your schoolwork, you know, and you were about business.
Me? Come on, Rod. Don't even say that, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You gotta understand, like, what I came from at the time, dude, it was none of that stuff, you know? So, and I kind of keep all this stuff in my memory banks. Do I use it at the time? No. You know, but I kept it, and then later on in life, I started using it, and I kind of remember those things, like just good influence. You know, and I think a lot of people know that, like, when you surround yourself with positive people, eventually it rubs off on you.
Okay, Rod, let's move into the top 10 questions. Number one, name someone you admire.
Well, I can say my family.
Number two, the best coach you ever played for.
Ooh, the best coach I ever played for has to be my high school coach, Coach John Carroll, because he did things, man, like he just retired, you know, back in, you know, at Oceanside High School, and just the lives that he touched while he was there, man, and the things that he did for us, and you know, there's a lot of gang issues going on, whatever, and he, you know, even though we had a game Friday night, He would come kick kids from those neighborhoods, and we stayed at his house like the whole week. You know, so, you know, it wasn't, to him, it wasn't just about playing football, but it was just about kids being safe and, you know, and loving life. You know, so, and then even though, know, too, like, I had emailed him a few years ago, just out of the blue. And for some reason, I thought, like, he would remember me. He's like, are you serious? You know, he's like, you were one of my best and favorite players I had here. So I was like, wow.
Number three, your pregame ritual.
Listen to Tupac. Yeah, that's all I did. Get ready.
Number four, the game is on the line. Ball's on the 5-yard line. Run or pass?
Shoot, good question. It's on the 5-yard line. Yeah, I think I'll run it.
Number five, have you ever blown a coverage?
Yeah. Coach Hill screaming at me, pulling me out of the game, you know. And I remember that play, too. It was against Sacramento State. And that's when I was, you know, really trying to learn the defense and stuff, whatever. And I would have got a pick.
Well, what happened?
I think the outside receiver ran like a 5-yard hitch. And the slot receiver ran a corner route. And I jumped, because I'm used to man-to-man, I jumped in it. I jumped in the hitch, and the guy ran behind me on the corner route. And I was like, oh, man. And it was on our foul line, too, so he was letting me have it.
Number six, can you hear the crowd when you play?
No, I don't hear anything. It's funny, I tell my wife, I don't hear anything, but I like to show off. He's just like, wow, yeah. Yep. So I think that's what made me play, if I feel like people were watching me.
Number 7, the best player that you ever played with.
This is probably going back to junior college. Guy named Kevin Swain. He was one of our receivers. And to kind of watch him, you know, first year, like, I don't think he really touched the field, you know. And then come in, second year, whatever, and just killed it. Like, no one can cover this dude. Yeah, no one can cover him. He played with the Jets, and I think he played with the Jets, and I think the Redskins. And he killed arena football, and I think he played in like the XFL too.
Number 8, the worst place to play.
What place was it? Oh man, I would say like the worst place to play, but I know when we played at some Boise State, I think they had just got like that turf, that blue turf, whatever, and it was cold. And that turf hurt so bad, man. It hurt. It hurt real bad. I was like, yeah, I don't want to play on turf anymore. That hurt a lot. And I think Coach Hill set me up. Because they were like in this power formation where they had like the tight end, fullback, and the running back. And so I'm on the strong side. And of course, it's me and the running back. And I don't know if you remember how big those running backs were at Boise State. So that dude, someone picked up the fullback, and it was me and the running back. And I think at the time, Portland State, I was probably about 155 pounds. Yeah, dude. That dude came in, I just hit his leg and he held on for dear life. Like, man, I didn't get ran over, but he held on for his leg.
Number 9, should college players be paid?
You know what? I'd say yes. I think they should get paid. I was thinking about it at Portland State. You know, we got our scholarship money, and I think we got $300 a month, and half of that went to rent. You know, so it was like that was nowhere near enough. And you got guys, even though we got school paid for, you know, a lot of us didn't come from a lot of money. You know, so I think that kind of played a factor too. Like, we didn't have a lot of money, so. You gotta do whatever you can do to make it, you know. And that's just at Portland State. So I can imagine at bigger schools where they're making all this money off athletes and stuff. And you know, and I think in the long run, if you look at it, I mean, is it important to, you know, have your kids graduate from college, or is it important to, you know, make billions of dollars off the kids and they get nothing? You're using their likeness to make money. They win bowl games, you know. So if you got coaches in colleges getting paid, you know, millions of dollars, if you can't pay, you know, an athlete $1,000 a month, at least, you know what I'm saying?
Number 10, what's the best part about playing the game? What's the best part about playing?
About playing? And I look at it at work too, man, just dealing with adversity. You know, dealing with adversity and building that camaraderie with your teammates. But the adversity part, you know, just working and stuff, like, you don't really, you know, if you play, and I'm just going to say football, I don't know about basketball or whatever, but if you play football, you're always dealing with adversity. When the game is on the line or you're fighting through an injury or whatever, or you're fighting for your job, you know, either you get it done or you don't get it done. And if you don't get it done, you're not playing. You know, so, and I use that to this day, especially my work, whatever. You know, it's like, you know, if you can't get it done and we're trying to coach you and getting it done, then what else can we do? You know, so I don't stress about it. I know there's a task that needs to be done, so I do it.
Well, Rod, there it is, man. How'd you feel going through memory lane and doing this podcast, Portland State, where are they now?
It was, at first I was like, I don't know, man. And I saw it, I was like, like, you know, I'm going to do it, man. It feels good, man. Just kind of bring back some memories and stuff and, you know, the things that I did at Portland State, the thing I learned, you know, and where it put me at today. So, I mean, I have no shame about what I said on this podcast. I thought it was pretty cool. I hope a lot more of our teammates or, you know, other cats that played before us, you know, that you get a hold of.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rod. There it is. Cover man, Roderick Prayer.